good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Monday, September 18th, 2017. And my co-host, Alfred Adask, is here. Good afternoon.
Hello, Melody.
Okay, we have gold today. Let's start with the market report. It is now 4:09. So again, our apologies for the delay. Gold today was delayed. The rise in gold was delayed today as we had a little bit of a pullback today, almost 12 bucks at $1,308. Silver was down 38 cents at $17.26. Platinum was down 9 bucks today at 964. But palladium, that was up 13 at $938. Palladium got a whacking last week, so it's really beginning to trade on its own, which is very unusual that it's not following the rest of the precious metals sector. So, but the USDX today was a little bit stronger, of course, as we've seen the pressure on gold up 0.22 at 92.06. Oil was down just a penny at 49.82. And with all the technology problems today, let me make sure I can get to my paper report. If I can get to any of my reports today, we have the Dow up 63 points, 22,331. The NASDAQ was up 6 at 6,454. The S&P was up 3 at 2,503. 10-year yield today was up 0.03 at 2.23%. Euro was stronger, up 0.04. Also, with the dollar strengthening too, 120 on the euro. European and Asian markets, of course, were all a tad positive. And, you know, everybody is happy once again that the stock markets are hitting record highs. This week, we have the big meeting of the Federal Reserve. There's about four more meetings that Janet Yellen will have until her chairmanship ends in February. But so there will be a lot of, you'll hear a lot of discussions, whether she should stay, whether she should go. You also have Stanley Fischer. He announced this month that he's going to resign October 13th. He's the number two Fed. You know, he's the second in line. And so that means President Trump actually has a chance to fill the Fed's top two jobs. I don't think he's going to replace Janet Yellen unless something major goes wrong in these markets, which is a real possibility. I think they will, and certainly I don't think she's good for the calmness in the markets when there isn't anything going on. But, you know, if you have not if we have, but when we have the repeat and worse of 2008 recession, you know, she's not going to be able to handle that. They'll have to bring in another power hitter like Bernanke and so forth to do what they did to continue to destroy our monetary policies. But so we'll have to see if another rate hike is coming this week. Most economists don't expect the Fed to raise the interest rates on Wednesday. And, you know, whether they do it this month, when maybe they'll hold off until December. I don't know if they're going to hold off until December now, because you'll have the debt ceiling that they're going to have to deal with. So there could be a lot going on. So maybe with the delay of dealing with the debt ceiling this month, they might actually do the rate increase. So
this week?
This week they're meeting, yes. Yes. So
it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, but
I don't think
that
many people are anticipating that. It'll be a surprise if they do it.
But if they wait until December, it's at the same time as the debt ceiling. Now, did they?
Yeah, but I've seen another report. Some people say it's unlikely to raise. Part of the reason not to raise the interest rate right now is because of whatever adverse impact we've had from Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma.
Yeah.
That may be an excuse not to raise it right now, and the debt ceiling may be an excuse in December, and when we get into the next year, we may have who knows what.
More excuses. But I guess they're also supposed to this week release a timeline of them, some sort of a guideline as far as them eliminating some of their debt, some of their
assets. Talking about that. They are allegedly going to get rid of their at least part of their balance sheet. They've got $4.4 trillion on their balance sheet that's composed mainly of U.S. treasuries and mortgage-backed bonds, right? And they're talking about getting rid of these things, but that's not going to be easily done. It's not going to be done without risk. The Fed bought those bonds as a means to inject cash into the economy back in 2007, 2008. That cash was supposed to contribute to inflation and stimulate the economy. It follows that if the Fed now sells those same bonds back into the economy, it will take cash out of the economy, and that should contribute to deflation and tend to slow the economy. So depending on how much money and how fast the bonds are sold back into the economy, it's debatable whether the economy is strong enough to stand up to the stress created by selling the bonds that the Fed's holding back to the public. Maybe they can, maybe it can, maybe it can't. But here's a second point. There's no guarantee that the Fed can sell its toxic bonds back into the economy at the same price it paid for them. In other words, if they bought a bond for, just pull a number out of a hat, say $100,000. They bought a $100,000 bond back in the day. How much can they sell it for today? Can they still get basically face value for it? I mean, there might be a little bit of a decline, but can they get face value? Or is there going to be a significant decline in the price of the bond? It's probable that the bonds are worth considerably less today than the Fed paid for them 10 years ago. If the bonds prices decline by a modest amount, say 10%, the decline may not be too troubling. But what if the Fed tries to sell $500 billion worth of bonds in the next month or so, and investors only offer $250 billion, a 50% loss? First thing that's going to happen is that the world and the Federal Reserve will have evidence that its $4.5 trillion balance sheet assets are only worth about $2.25 trillion. The Fed could, in theory, assuming there was a 50% decline in the, and that's just pulling a number out of a hat, maybe too large to be reasonable, but in this hypothetical, the Fed will have lost $2.25 trillion. Can the Fed survive a $2.25 trillion loss? What if the Fed does survive a two and a quarter trillion dollar loss? What does that say about the nature and value of our currency? If a loss of $2.25 trillion doesn't amount to anything, what's our money worth?
Well, they're only starting out with $10 billion a month, so I don't think that's. They're just testing the water to see what happens.
It can't be much. They're not going to try to sell everything all at once.
So they're starting out at $10 billion a month, and then they tend to increase it. But so they're just testing the market, as I said.
I understand.
They're only planning on bringing it down to $3 trillion. So,
all right.
You know,
all right. But here's the danger. Here is the danger.
That's the danger.
Say what?
I said, I get the danger.
The danger is they may wind up producing evidence that the free market doesn't want to pay full price for those bonds. And if it does, all of a sudden, it's not just the bonds in the Federal Reserve that the Federal Reserve is holding. It's similar bonds around the world may be exposed as being worth a lot less than people presume at the moment. It means that U.S. Treasury bonds that are tucked away in pension funds and banks as collateral, all of a sudden they find out that they're worth 10-20% less than they were supposed to be worth. What impact is it going to have on the economy? I'm not going to be surprised, particularly if they're only selling $10 billion worth of bonds initially. I'm not going to be surprised if initially this game is rigged. They've got people at even the Federal Reserve here. We'll give you $10 billion, Melody, and don't say anything, but you just buy the bonds for full face value, okay? Well, if they can do that a couple of times, they may be able to essentially prime the pump, salt the mine, and create a certain amount of an impression in the public that the bonds are still worth basically full face value, and then they can actually start selling them and getting people to pay full face value without having to fix the without having to rig the markets. I have no evidence to, you know, to support the hypothesis that they might rig the sales. But I wouldn't be surprised. That's all.
Wow, they rig everything else.
Well, I understand. You know. That's where you hate. It would be remiss of me to suggest that they could sell all these bonds without trying to fix it one way or the other. I mean, their bonds may already be gone for all I know. I don't know what they've done with them. But in any case, this is a potentially dangerous moment. If they, you know, if they show, if turns out, part of the reason the Fed is became the number one, the lender of last resort for the government, is the government went out and they tried to sell bonds at one of their auctions and nobody would buy the bonds at the price that the government wanted to sell. They terminated the auction. This goes back 8 or 10 years ago. And they terminated the auction rather than create evidence that the public would only pay, I don't know, 80% as much as the government was expecting to receive on the bonds. They're in the Federal Reserve, you start buying these bonds. Well, who's going to do it this time? Who is there to pay full price for something that maybe isn't worth full price? And if it becomes evident that these prices are in decline, what happens to banks that are holding bonds, what happens to pension funds, a lot of potential dangers. The Fed would do well to stay as far from this as it can. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable, given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power. It's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. You're familiar with Range Magazine, packed with hard, cold facts regarding the battles we face out on the range and at home. Beyond the battles are beauty and pictures and words that will take you to another place and time. CJ and Range Magazine have produced a line of hardbound books that should be a part of your home library. The most recent publication is Cowboys and Critters, containing unique photos of the people and animals that make up the ranching world. These beautiful books, which make fantastic gifts, have won numerous awards, such as the prestigious Wrangler Award, First Place in Journalism, Will Rogers Gold Medal Award. So many honors, great photos, and wonderful poems and stories of the West. Reflections of the West, Brushstrokes and Balladeers, The M-Bar, The Call of the Cow Country. You can't resist the art and cowboy poetry books. Visit rangemagazine.com for a complete list of prices. Call 1-800-RANGE-4-U. That's 1-800-726-4348. Be sure to let them know Beth Ann sent you. CSC Talk Radio is making available two pocket-sized booklets which will arm you with the truth. President Lincoln said, study the Constitution, let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaim the legislatures and enforced in courts of justice. The Citizens Rule Book is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and much more, explaining our rules. A must-read and a convenient to carry. Keep one in your pocket, one in your car, and one in your purse. The second punch of power is Sheriff Richard Mack's Victory for State Sovereignty. Understanding that our state's rights supersede federal laws and mandates is vital and valuable information. The Supreme Court victory of Mack Prince versus USA is a victory for all states. $5 will put power in your pocket. Order now. Send $5 to CSC Talk Radio. Let me know you want a pocket full of power. Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018, or order online at csctalkradio.com. $5 is a small amount to pay for a pocket full of power.
Hello, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, we talk about rigging, we talk about lies, we talk about the numbers that we get, the statistics we receive from governments, and not just our government, but governments around the world, and how phony they are. Well, here's one that'll make you chuckle. Global debt. This is from the BIS. Global debt may be underreported by around 13 trillion dollars because traditional accounting practices exclude foreign exchange derivatives used to hedge international trade and foreign currency bonds. The Bank for International Settlements, the BIS, their researchers says it was hard to assess the risk this missing debt poses. Well, I'll tell you. The risk, you know, it isn't very good. But the main worry was a liquidity crunch like the one that seized the FX swap and forward markets during the financial crisis. So we're looking at $13 trillion is unaccounted for exposure exceeds the on-balance sheet debt of $10.7 trillion. And that data shows was owned by firms and governments outside the U.S., at the end of March. So these derivatives, these FX derivatives, they do not appear on financial and non-financial institutions' balance sheets under current accounting rules. So, you know.
But there's nothing sneaky about it because the government said it was okay.
It's okay.
Yes.
Well, yes. That just changes the way
they
report
things. They have changed
the rules
to conceal the evidence, mm-hmm. and that's okay because the government says it's okay.
So that means, hey, we'll just eliminate those $13 trillion of debt. Swaps and forwards amounted to more than $3 trillion a day last year, equivalent to more than 60% of total FX turnovers, the BIS said. More than 90% of the market was in dollars and FX FX swaps accounted for 75% of the total. But hey, what's $13 trillion?
You know, Melody, it wasn't all that long ago. It wasn't all that long ago when I had to get used to talking about trillions. And it wasn't so long before that that we had to kind of get used to talking about billions.
Billions.
Right? And it won't be too long before what follows after trillions.
Well, it'll be broke before we get there.
Brazilians, that was the old joke.
That was the old joke.
Yeah, yeah. How many in a Brazilian?
It would be quadrillion, right?
Yeah, no. Quadrillions, yes, that's the next one.
It'd be quadrillions.
So get ready. Just a word to the wise. Start thinking about using quadrillions, spelling quadrillions, all right? Probably be another 6 months and it'll be our normal means of accounting. You know, this is a little bit like inflation. In fact, it's a lot like inflation. It used to be when you saw Zimbabwe, they had a dollar. Then they had $10 and $100 and $1,000 and $1 million and $1 billion, right? And you still had a billion Zimbabwean dollar note. And what could you get with it? Maybe a Coke? If that.
Couldn't even get that.
I understand. Well, this escalation of going from millions to billions to trillions and soon to quadrillions, this is a little bit like inflation in the Zimbabwean dollar. And maybe it's not just an analogy. It crosses my mind right now, but maybe there's some truth to it that we'll think about it and watch it for a while, and who knows? Maybe it'll turn out to be true, or maybe it'll just turn out to be kind of.
The point is, if there's $13 trillion missing in the way the account of the debt in their accounting practices reported by the BIS, can you imagine? Perhaps, you know, when we talk about $20 trillion here in this country, maybe they're just not accounting for another $5 or $10 or $20 trillion. Who knows?
John Williams, he has warned for 5 years or more. He started out, the debt was, when he started out, so far as I can recall, the national debt, the official national debt was $8 or $9 trillion. Williams said, no, it's not. I think at the time he calculated it was $30 or $40 trillion. All right? That it was actually concealed, but it was there. It was actually owed by the as part of the government debt. There was another $25-30 trillion that they weren't reporting. More recently, it was $100 trillion. They say we owe $20 trillion, and Williams said no, you owe more like $100 trillion. And economist Lawrence Kotlikoff and the Congressional Budget Office have both calculated that it actually runs, including unfunded liabilities, and actually runs in terms of $200 trillion. Now, I don't know what the number is, but the one thing you can bet
it's not 20.
Is that $20 trillion. Yeah, that's the one thing. It's like saying, you know, we're talking about end times. No one knows the time and the date, but we know one thing for sure. It's not $20 trillion. All right, you can bet on that. What it is, we don't know, but it's not $20 trillion. And the same thing goes with the Bank of International Settlements. I can't imagine compelling reason that the bank and the central banks, I mean the bankers' bank, why would they be any more honest and ethical than the rest of the banks in the world? I mean, we can count on the Federal Reserve to lie to us. Why not the Bank of International Settlements? Is there something special about these guys where they always tell the truth? You have to assume, they're feeding us whatever and letting us grow in the dark. You know, here we got that mushroom phenomenon going on.
I saw a headline yesterday, and it's out of the Washington Times, and it was yesterday's report, but it looks like some Senate Republicans are back to pushing to replace Obamacare. That this is going to be, they're going to try to get it voted on by the end of the month.
Yep.
And it is Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Bill Cassidy the Louisiana Republican. They co-wrote the bill, and they're trying to get this passed. Trump Care is back. They have until September 30th to pass the bill. So they're trying to get their voices heard and to get this passed. Under the plan, Obamacare money that pays for an expansion of Medicaid and that subsidizes coverage for many of those who buy insurance on the exchanges would be pooled and instead given to states as block grants. The states would tailor the money to their own health care plans. The bill would also immediately repeal Obamacare's individual mandate requiring people to get coverage or pay a tax, and its rule requiring large employers to provide coverage or face crippling penalties. You know, my question, if the rule for employers change, that means they're going to drop the coverage for their employees. They're not being forced, you know, to provide this coverage anymore. So, you know, but it doesn't really repeal the deal. Rand Paul, of course, he announced Friday that he's opposed to the bill, and he says it's only making, it leaves about 90% of Obamacare in place, including many of its taxes and coverage rules. So, you know, it's, they're really not repealing. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they really shouldn't be fair. And so, again, it's just going to be, you know, it's all about positioning for the 2018 election. So whether they get it passed or not still remains to be seen. But, again, they're really not making any changes. It just sounds good. But underneath, there's not that much change. So you,
well, if they cause the change in general, just in general, you know, I'd rather light a candle and curse the darkness. If they got get rid of 10%, well, it's 10%. But does that step create momentum where they start looking for the next 10% and the next 10% after that? Or is it enough to just take the political steam out of the movement to get rid of Obamacare? So, well, we got rid of 10%, everybody goes back home and watches TV.
I think
that. See what I'm saying? Will it generate apathy, or will it generate momentum for getting rid of more of the bill?
Well, do you really expect them to get rid of the bill? Do you really believe that cutting 10% would provide momentum to Congress that has an 8% approval rating? No, I don't. You know, so I think it's more positioning for the 2018 elections. They can say, oh, well, we got it approved and blah, blah, blah. Democrats,
or they can
will
say we protected Obamacare.
I think that's the key. They're going to do something enough to get the Democrats on board. You know, so who knows? But I thought it was kind of interesting that all of a sudden this comes back to life. Even McCain, I believe, had missed, since he was that one final vote that prevented it from being sent through the Senate the last time. He came out and said that, you know, it's not a bad deal. So, well, I'll leave it at that. I will leave it at that, Al.
Who knows what politics linger in the hearts of men, Melody? The shadow knows.
Well, anyway, what's next?
Oh, we're talking about Democrats and Republicans. Here's an article from The Hill, which is a political publication, comes out of Washington, D.C. And the headline is Blame Both Democrats and Republicans If We Go Broke. Now, that's an interesting headline all by itself, and it's right. Both sides are guilty of this extraordinary debt that we've run up, and, you know, it'd be nice to point a finger at one side and say, oh, it's all the Democrats. No, it's not. The Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats. And I think I've talked about it on the program in the past. I speculate that maybe the debt-based monetary system and a debt-based economy, you have to go deeper into debt if you want to hold it together. I think that might be true. I don't have any evidence for that, but I think it might be true. And if it is, it would explain why both the Democrats and the Republicans constantly give us more debt and more debt and more debt and more deficit financing. it would offer an explanation. Might not be true, it's just a hypothesis, so maybe yes, maybe no. But it's an interesting headline nevertheless. Blame both the Republicans and the Democrats, right on, blame them both. If we go broke. If we go broke, we're already broke. That's why we have $20 trillion in national debt. We haven't been able to pay the $20 trillion. This isn't like using your credit card to take a three-day trip down to the Bahamas or something like that. This is $20 trillion that's been passed, but this is piling on for decades. We can't pay our bills. And now we're raising the debt ceiling again so we can go deeper into debt. Why? Because we can't pay our bills, which is evidence of what? We are broke. So it's interesting to me that here's the hill. They're saying blame both Democrats and Republicans. If we go broke, no, we're already broke. But it's still, this is a fairly credible publication. You could say it's a mainstream publication. And the fact that they're considering the possibility we might go broke is evidence that we're getting a lot closer to that moment than we were, who knows, a few years ago. I wouldn't have expected to see this headline today, and it's maybe unremarkable, but a year or two ago it would have been, oh my gosh, that's radical, that's crazy. No, it's the truth. The president has his debt ceiling increase, and there is talk that he may endorse a permanent repeal of the debt ceiling law. That sets the stage for a grand bargain in which the president and Republicans can get their tax cuts and the Democrats can secure a boost in domestic spending. A grand bargain, Melody. The Republicans get tax cuts and the Democrats get a boost in domestic spending. How is this grand bargain achieved? We'll go deeper into debt. We don't need more taxes to pay our bills because we aren't going to pay them. We're just going to keep borrowing money. And the Democrats get to spend more and the Republicans get credit for a tax cut. But what happens? It's all being done by leaving the debt to your children, your grandchildren. I mean, this isn't a grand bargain. This is an extraordinary cop-out. This is evidence of financial cowardice. A sober few in Washington speak of the problem. In 2011, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke stated, quote, "The unsustainable trajectories of deficits and debt projected to come from continuing current policies cannot actually happen because creditors would never be willing to lend to a government whose debt relative to national income is rising without limit." And that's what they've got in mind. The debt is, they have this system where it just rises and rises without limit. The debt ceiling provided something of a semblance of a limit. It was just a speed bump. They always elevated it and elevated and elevated. And all it really did was slow things down for, I don't know, 6 months. And they went through a little drama and everybody wrings their hands and then they raise the debt ceiling anyway. But Bernanke is saying, the government's policies can't continue because eventually creditors are going to be, they're going to refuse to lend money to a government who is simply increasing the debt, increasing the debt, increasing the debt. An ever-increasing federal debt to national income ratio will eventually render the government unable to borrow. Right? And that's where we're headed. People are talking. Moody's published an article just a couple of weeks ago when the debt ceiling still had to be resolved by the 29th of this month. And they warned that if they didn't get the debt ceiling resolved by the 29th of this month, and if they therefore failed to pay the interest on the debt for October, November, Moody's would cut the government's credit rating. They would not have made that threat unless it was entirely possible that the government was about to default on just paying the interest on the $20 trillion. Not paying the $20 trillion principal, just paying the interest on it at a time when interest levels are at record low. Moody's was implying that the government is so broke it might not be able to service the debt. They didn't say it was true. And I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying they can't service the debt, but I am saying the evidence suggests that they are so close they can't service the debt. This is equivalent to someone who's been borrowing money on his credit card. He's maxed out his MasterCard, and he can't even make the minimum monthly payment on the credit card. What's that tell you? It tells you he's broke, he's bankrupt, he's busted. That's what it tells you. It tells you he's probably going to lose his home in the near future. He's maybe going to lose his car. His credit rating is going to be trashed. He's going to, if he does get anyone to lend him money, he'll have to pay higher rates of interest on it. And that's more or less where our government is right now. And the Hill says, you know, if we go broke, blame both the Democrats and Republicans. Well, I say when we go broke, blame both the Democrats and the Republicans. No, don't wait until, I mean, that's the latest. When we go broke, blame them both. But you could save a little time and effort and blame them both now. Why wait till the moment? Why wait till the inevitable moment when the whole thing cracks up? Why not just blame them now? Let's take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You're familiar with Range Magazine, packed with hard, cold facts regarding the battles we face out on the range and at home. Beyond the battles are beauty and pictures and words that will take you to another place and time. CJ and Range Magazine have produced a line of hardbound books that should be a part of your home library. The most recent publication is Cowboys and Critters, containing unique photos of the people and animals that make up the ranching world. These beautiful books, which make fantastic gifts, have won numerous awards, such as the prestigious Wrangler Award, First Place in Journalism, Will Rogers Gold Medal Award. So many honors, great photos, and wonderful poems and stories of the West. Reflections of the West, Brushstrokes and Balladeers, The M-Bar, The Call of the Cow Country. You can't resist the art and cowboy poetry books. Visit rangemagazine.com for a complete list of prices. Call 1-800-RANGE-4-U. That's 1-800-726-4348. Be sure to let them know Beth Ann sent you. CSC Talk Radio is making available two pocket-sized booklets which will arm you with the truth. President Lincoln said, study the Constitution, let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaim the legislatures and enforced in courts of justice. The Citizens Rule Book is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and much more, explaining our rules. A must-read and a convenient to carry. Keep one in your pocket, one in your car, and one in your purse. The second punch of power is Sheriff Richard Mack's Victory for State Sovereignty. Understanding that our state's rights supersede federal laws and mandates is vital and valuable information. The Supreme Court victory of Mack Prince versus USA is a victory for all states. $5 will put power in your pocket. Order now. Send $5 to CSE Talk Radio. Let me know you want a pocket full of power. Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018, or order online at csetalkradio.com. $5 is a small amount to pay for a pocket full of power.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter that will be going out here shortly for the day. And of course, it comes out every Monday. And you can listen to the program live. And the archives are also posted there. DGScoins.com. I didn't do a special today with the big drop in gold and silver. I mean, those are really good prices to be purchasing. I don't change my view on the reasons to purchase gold and silver just because, you know, the price drops. You know, I think that the prices have really been trading with the drop in the dollar. I think we're going to continue to see a drop in the dollar. The dollar is going to continue to get weakened, but that's just not the only reason. I think gold sometimes attaches itself to various movements in other markets, but all the markets are so rigged to begin with, and we still don't have, there was no reaction at all from North Korea last week, and you know, there's been no reaction to other financial news or retail sales or anything else that were adjusted, the GDP again adjusted downward. So, you know, everybody remembers the positive reports, but of course, all the revisements or the revisions, you know, are never discussed except here on our program. So, I still predict we're going to see $1,400, $1,500, possibly $1,600 gold by the end of the year. Silver prices will be higher also. We have a lot of material to get through, and if we get another hurricane that, you know, whacks the eastern coast somewhere, this Hurricane Maria, I mean, it looks like all bets are off as far as what government is going to provide in these various areas, providing money that they probably shouldn't.
Maybe they can't, like we've said before, and we've talked
about
it.
Well, they're going to. They've already promised and already sent.
They've promised to provide some.
They've already we'll see, but you know, it you know, then we talk about the tax cuts and everything else. Where's all the revenue coming from? So we you know, things are beginning to unwind, folks. And just because
we have magic wands and wizards and fairies and things like that.
Just because we have some pressure on gold and silver doesn't mean that it's all over and they've got control again.
It isn't all over by any stretch of the imagination.
By any stretch of the means.
And I don't think they do have control, although for the moment they still have great influence. I think they're terrified. I think the people in positions of power, I mean, you got to be crazy not to be scared, in my opinion.
I know.
You know, and watch and see. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but the people sitting there in positions of power, this thing is no telling how this is going to break down. But, you know, we've harped on the debt for years, and we've tried to show you the consequences of this enormous debt from, you know, every perspective we can find or imagine. But, and it may become tedious listening to it at times, but the fact remains, this debt is there and it can't be paid. It's not going to be paid. Right now, the most they can hope for, and it's part of the reason why Janet Yellen is contemplating, should she raise interest rates again? Well, if she does, that raise, even though it's only a quarter of a point, it's more psychological than anything else, but just the same, they can't keep raising interest rates when the government is already in a position where it may not be able to pay the interest on the existing loan in October, November, if we can believe Moody's. All right? If the interest rate is raised, it will only make it that much more difficult for government to pay the interest on the loan, on the interest on the debt, the $20 trillion debt. Sooner or later, how far can we raise the interest rates before the government finally admits it can't pay the bills? Then what? You know, we appear to be sitting at the edge of a precipice, and where a lot of us are having a good time ignoring the fact or dancing along the edge as if there's, you know, there's no danger and whatever. But it seems to me that there's not a way out of this. There is not a painless solution. Sooner or later, we have to cancel the debt. We cancel the debt because we can't pay it. We have to cancel the correlative bonds, the value of the correlative bonds that memorialize the debt. Wipe out $20 trillion worth of debt. You got to wipe out $20 trillion worth of bonds. Can the economy of the United States and even the world withstand the loss of $20 trillion in government bonds? $10 trillion? How much? The point is, we can't cancel the debt and we can't pay the debt. What are we going to do with the debt? Too big for us to pay. Can't cancel it because it's the basis of our treasury bonds. What are we going to do? There is going to be some kind of a crack up before this is all over. You know, people talk about it. We're off in uncharted territory. Yeah.
Well, we are.
Yes, we are. And the only question is when. That's the only question, really. I think anyone who studies this a little bit, looks at it, has to know, this is going to get serious. This is going to get messy. The only question is when. Can they hold it together for another 6 months? Can they hold it together for another 6 years? I don't know. But it certainly looks like we're getting closer and closer. And what can you do? We are caught in a situation where the people who have access to the levers of power in the government and in the Federal Reserve, it really does appear that there's nothing they can do to protect us. What are they going to do? I don't think they can raise the interest rates significantly. They might raise it a little, but not significantly. I don't think they can sell much of the Fed's balance sheet. I don't think they can do that. I don't think Trump can easily, he wants to give a tax cut to somebody. Well, great. How are we going to pay the debt if we cut taxes? And the only answer is we're going to have to borrow more money, and I don't know that they can keep borrowing more money if they can't even pay the interest on the existing debt. We are getting close to it, and no one in positions of power is really addressing this problem, at least not, they don't see it as a problem to the same extent I do. Maybe they're right and I'm wrong. But I'm still looking at this, and all I can do is look at it with the eyes and the ears the good Lord gave me and say, look, this is a big problem. If the people, if I'm right, and the people in government know we're cruising close to a calamity, all right, maybe you have it, maybe we don't, but we're getting close, and they're not warning people about it, there's nothing they can do about it, all they can do is hope that we don't hit this iceberg. Maybe we'll just kind of scuff along. It'll just kind of scuff up the side of our boat a little bit, but it won't put a hole in it. Maybe. Maybe. Let's hope. Let's pray. That's all they've got. It means that if there's nobody on this earth who can help you take care of, protect you from what may be a calamity, who are you going to have to rely on other than the good Lord to protect you from this calamity? And the answer is probably yourself. Government's not addressing the problem because I don't think they can. They can't pay the debt. They can't cancel the debt. What are they going to do with the debt? They're going to sit here until the whole thing blows up in everybody's face, and then they're going to be, and then we'll blame both the Republicans and the Democrats, as the article from The Hill pointed out. And what satisfaction will that be? What will that have to do with putting any food on the table? So my conclusion on this is, if it's true that we are coming close to a potential calamity, and if it's true that government, there's nothing they can really do to avoid it or escape it other than just pray to God we just barely miss it, right? If there's nothing they can do, if you want to protect yourself, if you agree that we're approaching the problem, it's up to you. Do what you got to do to take care of yourself. Do what you got to do to take care of your family, whatever. Because nobody else is able to. And small lifeboats, apparently. You know, life jackets, lifeboats, take care of yourself, because that's where it's breaking down.
You know, I just got a special in, and I was just working some numbers to see if I could get this off the air, because this is a really, really good deal. I'm getting offered some Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces, and I think I can offer them, again, close to what a Gold Eagle would sell for, $695 each. $695 each. Two of them would be $1,390.
These are half ounce.
These are half ounce. So you're basically paying, you're basically paying $15 more. If you purchase two of the half-ounce Mint State 62 $10 Liberties at $695, and you purchase two of them, you're paying only $15 more than what you would an American gold bullion coin. All right, so for, yeah, it is slightly less than an ounce, but it's still a great, great buy for Mint State 62 $10.
Less.
Well, the Mint State 62 $10 Liberties aren't a full half ounce, Al.
Okay.
They're just, they're just shy for the amount of gold in the coins, you know. And I certainly don't want to misrepresent the coin in any manner. So, but as far as price goes, and as far as when you're comparing, and it's usually a better comparison to do it with a $20 Liberty gold piece, but this just popped up on my screen from one of my sellers, from one of my wholesalers, and they're offering up to 100 coins based at this price level. And I know they go quick, so I wanted to quick get it on the air before the program was over. So $695 for a Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold piece. And it wasn't that long ago that we were selling these for $665. So they're even higher than where the spot price of gold was at the same time we were offering them. So the premium is staying strong. And this is probably one of the cheapest premiums by far in well over 15 years. So it's just a great deal. 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And again, in comparison with the bullion fractional pieces, the smaller you go in the size of your gold, the more you gold for your, the more you pay for your gold. So give us a call before they're gone.
All right.
So we just have, what, 2 minutes left, Al?
Yeah, 2 minutes left. Would you like me to sing?
1 minute.
You know how I like to sing, Melody. Probably not. Probably not. Well, here's something that's from the Associated Press. Fed up Illinois legislators head for the exit in big numbers. Illinois residents aren't the only ones throwing up their hands at the gridlock and increasingly polarized politics that have defined the state government in recent years. More and more fed up, frustrated Illinois legislators are heading for the exit. More than two dozen legislators, about 15% of the General Assembly, have either resigned months into the current session or said they won't seek re-election. Now, they're having problems that stress, they can't reach compromises, and they are concerned that the public is growing more hostile and vocal. All right, there is a toxic environment. People seem to be not able to get along, even outside the Capitol. That's not a good environment, and it's not an environment I want to be part of, according to Representative Steve Anderson. Talking about hate mail and death threats, why is Illinois having this trouble? It's having it because they are corrupt. Four or five of their last half dozen governors have gone to prison. Illinois runs itself like a racket, and the public is finally fed up with the corruption. This isn't mismanagement. This is criminal activity. And that's what's making people angry, frustrated, dangerous. And they have brought it on themselves, just as we are, insofar as we allow a criminal enterprise to occupy our government. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.